All right, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to the book of Jude this afternoon. For those of you who have mastered the difficulty of the afternoon service, we get to bump it up a notch of difficulty this afternoon after losing an hour of sleep last night. So let's see how well we can do. I won't shout and scream and bang the pulpit, but hopefully the Word of God will keep us awake. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. I'm going to read verses 17 through 19 of Jude. Verse 17 is what we're going to focus on this afternoon. But it doesn't make much sense if we don't read it with verses 18 and 19 to see the context of what Jude is instructing us in. Up to this point, particularly verses 3 through 16, we've seen the condemnation that God has promised to those wicked men who are described in verse 4. And now starting in verse 17, we get what our response to them is supposed to be. So this is what Jude says. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Please help us to remain focused on it. Certainly, the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And as the very apostles of the Lord Jesus had a hard time staying awake when he asked them to watch and pray, so we are no better than they. So help us this afternoon to be alert, to be able to focus on your word, that you would teach us by it, that you would call to our memory by your Holy Spirit the truths which we have heard and read and know. Help me that both, most importantly, the message would be true to Scripture and helpful to the congregation, and that my delivery would not aid in drowsiness, but instead that you would help us to that I would be able to deliver this in such a way that would be helpful to the congregation. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. So Jude, as I said, begins here to tell us about what our response is supposed to be toward these kind of men. In the question and answer session last week, we talked about those children of Issachar who both understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And that's really what we want to receive out of the Scriptures. We want to be able to discern what is going on, but then we want to know, okay, so then what do I do about that? What is my response supposed to be? Okay, so there's some men who creep into churches unaware, and they live lasciviously, and they teach heretically, and they deny the lordship of Jesus and the lordship of God the Father. And it's been promised from old time by God, they were ordained, that men like that would receive condemnation. And we see example after example after example of that fact. But what am I supposed to do? What do I do when I come across men who fit this description? When I notice, okay, here is someone in the church, or someone who claims to be a Christian, someone who claims to be a brother, someone who's integrated themselves with me and my close circle, and yet there's these waving red flags. Their lifestyle is completely given over to fleshly worldliness. Their doctrines, their understanding of Scripture is completely outside the bounds of what Scripture teaches and what Orthodox Christianity holds to. Their attitude is rebellious to any authority, to anyone with dignity. What do I do when I come across someone like that? Well, Jude seems to understand that the temptation would be to become discouraged. This is what the church is like? I thought the church was different than the world. This is what goes on in churches, this kind of stuff. Well, that's what I have to deal with all week long. What do I need the church for if I'm just going to have to run across the same people in church that I run across the rest of the time? Perhaps Jude knows that there's a temptation to be swayed by them, that their teaching, their heresy, their unorthodox beliefs would be so compelling that maybe we would be swayed by their philosophy. Maybe our emotions would be drawn to them. Maybe their charismatic personality or their personal friendship or relation to us would be something that would cause us to be drawn away after them. We're going to look at each of those in turn here this afternoon. But Jude's remedy to any of those temptations, to be drawn away after these people or to be discouraged away from Christ because of these people, the answer is the same. Remember the words which were spoken by the apostles. In other words, remember the scriptures. Remember what God has told us by the prophets and the apostles in the inspired scriptures. The natural response to humanity as a whole is to see the immediate. That's our natural response. Whatever's immediately pressing on us, whatever's immediately going on around us, is what we think the whole world is involved in. I was talking to a car salesman actually this week, and he was telling me about some hard things that he was going through his life. He found out I was a pastor, and so he was telling me about some hard things that were going on in his life and how he was trying to press through it. And I was trying to encourage him. Listen, we don't look at the here and now. It's not just about what's right in front of you. We need to go back to the scriptures and see what God has said to his people throughout all the ages. And we need to look forward to what he's promised is going to happen in the future. If we're only looking at what's right here, right in front of us, we're going to be discouraged. We're going to be swayed. We're going to be pulled away. We're going to drift with the current. And so Jude reminds us we have to remember. Christians have to have a bird's eye view. Christians have to be able to not miss the forest for the trees. They have to be able to look at the big picture, what God's done in the past, what God's promised to do in the future, and allow that to instruct and bolster our faith. That's a hard task. It's something we need to constantly be reminded of. And so Jude reminds us of it. He tells us, remember, that's what you got to do when these things happen. Firstly, let's think about what Jude, in my estimation, what Jude seems to be talking primarily about here would be the temptation to become discouraged in our faith because of the actions of others. I don't know how you could read verses 3 through 16 and not feel a little bit weighted down. These kind of people, really? Not only they're going to be in churches, but they're going to be unaware to many that they're in churches? Men like these who have been described here by Jude are men whose actions would be enough to sour anyone on church. And probably all of us have at least encountered people, if we've not ourselves gone through seasons in life, when we've experienced, or the person we're dealing with has experienced, someone in the church who has acted in a very unchristian way. That happens. That happens. How many have never gone back to church or have walked entirely away from the faith because of a pastor who ran off with a woman? Or because of a treasurer who embezzled funds? Or a deacon who showed partiality in his ministry? Or an influential member in the church who began promoting heresy? I've heard it so many times, it's hard for me to imagine that there's anyone here who's lived very long who hasn't encountered someone who said just that. I used to go to church, but this or that happened, and now I don't ever want to go back to church. I'll never go back to a church again. Or perhaps I just realized then Christianity is no different than any other religion in the world. I've walked away from that. Well, what should our response be when we hear of that, or when we ourselves encounter that? When there's men like this in the church, how do we respond? Our response should not be to brush that off as an anomaly. That's a temptation sometimes. Well, I know that happened to you, but believe me, that's not what most churches are like. That's not how most people are. Give church another try. You probably won't ever run into that again. That was a one-off. That was an oddity. No, a whole book of Scripture is given over to Christians in all ages dealing with this. So it's not an anomaly. It's not an oddity. It's not a one-off. It's not something that you'll never encounter again. You'll probably encounter it again. And that's why we need the book of Jude. That's why Jude needs to give us this exhortation. Our response should not be to hide or excuse the sin if we're actually encountering it ourselves. Well, don't let word of this get out. That'll really shed a bad light on things. We don't want anyone else to hear about this. Let's just brush it under the rug. Let's just try to hide it. Let's just try to excuse it. No, that's not the answer either. The Scriptures tell us how we're to address sin among our ranks. That first we go to a brother individually, then we go to him with witnesses, then we bring him before the church. There's a process, and the process never includes brushing it under the rug or excusing it or hiding it. Our response should never be that the person talking to us who tells us they've gone through some deconstruction of their faith, or maybe they call themselves an ex-evangelical, or there's these terms that are thrown about in our culture, and maybe we think, well, they just misunderstood something. I bet it didn't really happen that way. They probably just got their feelings hurt, and they didn't realize what was going on there. And certainly our response should never be to walk away from our faith in the Lord Jesus and His Word. Well, they didn't live up to the expectation of Scripture, the ideal of Scripture. They're not just like Jesus, therefore Jesus must not be real. No, that cannot be our response. Our response should always be, I believe it, yep, that's what Jesus said would happen. Yeah, I know. Yep, that's what the apostles said would happen. They warned us about that. That's right. I remember James said that. Peter said that. Paul said that. Jude said that. Jesus said that. The prophets said that. Yeah, I believe that's what happened. I know that happens. There are men who creep into churches who live lascivious lifestyles. There are men who creep into churches who have rebellious attitudes. There are men who creep into churches who deny the lordship of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ. They were right. My faith is strengthened. The Bible is being fulfilled in front of my eyes. It amazes me how many people run around looking for answers and fulfillment of prophecy when here's a fulfillment of prophecy that every one of us has seen. The Scriptures prophesied there'd be men like this among our midst. And when that prophecy is fulfilled among our midst, instead of people saying, wow, the Bible's true, they say, oh, well, the Bible must not be true. Why is that? Well, it's because their faith was not in God, in the Scriptures, in the Lord Jesus. It was misplaced in some person or some activity or ritual. The words preserved for us by the Holy Spirit are fulfilled in front of us when this happens. That needs to be our response. When our temptation is to be discouraged, disappointed, our faith shaken, our response instead needs to be, wait a second, why am I discouraged? Why am I dismayed? Why is my faith shaken? The apostles of the Lord Jesus told us there would be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own godly lust, and these be they. There it is, right here. Here they are. And they have these particular characteristics about them. There's another response that is possible that this verse addresses as well, which is that there's a danger that we would be convinced by their worldly wisdom. Perhaps more dangerous than the one who is discouraged in his faith by the one who is evidently living in sin. That's a danger that would discourage us and cause us to be shaken in our faith. But more dangerous than that is the person who's able to convince you to walk away from the faith by their philosophy and vain deceit. That's why Jude warns us about these kinds of people, that we would not be deceived, but rather that we would remember what the Scriptures say. The Apostle Paul, remember, Jude tells us, remember what the apostles said. Well, what did the apostles say? We'll turn over to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, also known as Saul of Tarsus. But Paul, he wrote to the church at Colossae and warned them. In verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So it's possible, and we need to be on guard, we need to beware of those who would seek to spoil us through philosophy and vain deceit. When your conversations with someone in the church, someone who claims to be a Christian, someone who says, oh yeah, I love Jesus, I read my Bible too. And let me tell you something that I've been really realizing as I've been reading my Bible and following this teacher or this guide. And what I've been finding is, dot, 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 the Bible's not trustworthy. Christianity's not really exclusive. Faith is not really efficacious. There's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ who told us to be on guard against that. Beware, they'll spoil you through their philosophy. Boy, it sounds good. It sounds heady. It sounds intellectual. They're connecting all these dots like the Gnostics of the message behind the message. What did the Apostle Paul warn them, warn the Galatians about in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He said, there's some that's like they're going to cast a spell on you. You need to beware. Don't be a fool. Don't be foolish and easily bewitched. Don't be drawn away by their philosophy. Don't be drawn away by the traditions of men. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 30, as the Apostle Paul was leaving the elders in Ephesus, he said in verse 29, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember. First century. We get this romanticized idea. I wish we were a first century church. Now, first century church had elders that were wolves. And it hasn't changed century after century since then. There are many who call themselves followers of Jesus, who laud themselves as pastors or teachers or evangelists or prophets or apostles. They give themselves some grandiose title, and their goal is to draw disciples away after them. So Jude tells us, remember the words which the apostles spoke. They told you this would happen. They said there would be men like this. Progressive philosophy, I find it interesting in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, he talks about philosophy and tradition, which at least in my mind, maybe this is my cultural mind and this isn't what Paul meant, but at least in my mind that makes me think of progressives and conservatives. Right? The progressives are all about progressive philosophy and the conservatives are all about the old traditions. Well, either one can be a tool to convince men that their faith is worthless. We can follow useless traditions that have been set down by men that are not grounded and rooted in the Scriptures, or we can be drawn away by these fanciful philosophies of men who want to move beyond the traditions that are rooted and grounded in Scripture. Either one can be a tool to deconstruct our faith. And so we need to be on guard. Don't be convinced by their worldly wisdom. Another temptation from men like these is that we would be tempted by their lascivious lifestyle. Remember, he described these men as lascivious men, and we talked about that meaning relaxed morality. And many times it's particularly applied to sins of the flesh. If it's a danger that we would be discouraged by people who are living in a sinful way, and if it's a further danger that we would be convinced by the philosophies of men which would draw us away, perhaps the worst, and I don't know how to rank these, but perhaps the worst of all would be those who say, I know what the Bible says, but I know what the flesh wants, and I'm choosing the flesh over the Spirit. And there are some who do that. There are some where the seed falls on soil and it springs up quickly and the cares of this world choke it out. The man who loves his flesh more than he loves the Spirit of God. Men who would rather damn their souls than kill their sins. To borrow from John Owen's famous phrase, be killing sin or it will be killing you. In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 7, go ahead and turn over there. Proverbs chapter 7, we read about the simple man who's drawn away by the strange woman, and he's willingly drawn away by the strange woman because he's closed his ears to the cries of wisdom. Wisdom's already stood in the street and cried. But he didn't hear her. But now the strange woman catches him and he hears her. Why? Because he loves the flesh more than he loves the Spirit. I beheld among the simple ones and I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lies in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt, and I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the goodman is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goes after her straightway, as an ox goes to the slaughter or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastes to the snare and knows not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. When you come across someone who calls himself a Christian, someone in the church, or someone outside of the church who just claims to love the same God that you love, and they try to tell you that being a Christian doesn't mean that you have to interfere with any of the desires of the flesh. We're under grace now. Remember, that's what Jude said in this opening, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So here's their argument. Oh, we're under grace. We're not under the law. It's just about Jesus loves you and forgives you. Well, what did Jude tell us our response to that is to be? Remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ tell us? Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 6:10, drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. John told us in Revelation 21:8, whoremongers will have their part in the lake of fire. Paul told us in Philippians 3:19 that those whose God is their belly will have destruction as their end. These are the words of the apostles. These are the inspired scriptures. They've already told us the grace of God is not lasciviousness. And this is what Jude is emphasizing for us. When we're tempted away by the flesh, remember what was before of old ordained for men like this. Destruction. The children of Israel in the wilderness, Sodom and Gomorrah, Korah, the fallen angels. Again and again and again we see the picture. Your flesh says it will be so pleasant for a moment, and the scriptures tell you it will be destruction for eternity. Get your eyes off the immediate and look back at the future and the past. A fourth temptation would be that we would be won by their friendly personality. Maybe instead of being discouraged by their open sinfulness, being convinced by their worldly philosophy, or being swayed or tempted by their lascivious lifestyle, maybe they're just such a nice guy that you hate to say anything to them or about them. Remember, Jude told us they crept in unawares. Now, what's between the lines there? Many of you are friends with this guy. They've crept in. They're already here. They're already among you. And you're unaware of it until some red flags start popping up. And all of a sudden, you begin to see these red flags. They've got a very worldly lifestyle. They're all about pleasing the flesh. Their beliefs are unorthodox and borderlining on heretical. They're not in line with the scriptures. Their attitude is so rebellious against any authority that God has put in their life. But they're one of the only friends I have. They're such a nice person. You know, who would I talk to if they weren't here? Well, remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus said, as Jude says. Remember what James said in James 4:4? That friendship of the world is enmity with God. So you choose the friendship of this person who's displaying all the signs of this dangerous worldling. Their lifestyle is lascivious. Their doctrines are heretical. Their attitude is rebellious. They are not your friend. You think they're your friend. They're the person that I can just be myself around. That's not your friend. Your friend is the person who pushes you to stop being like you and start being like Jesus. Well, they're just the person that I can talk to for hours. That's not the sign of a real friend. The sign of a real friend is that their words conform you to the image of Christ, call out sin, and call out the perfection of Jesus. How long can we walk arm in arm with someone who is going down to Egypt while we claim to be going up to Mount Zion? At some point, our paths have to split. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6 tells us that your friend is not the one who kisses you deceitfully, but the one who wounds you faithfully. So often, we're not looking for friends who love us with eternity in view, but we're looking for the ones who will placate us with only our immediate feelings in view. And so Jude tells us, remember the words. which were spoken before by the apostles. Don't be caught up in the immediate. Don't be swayed by the fact that, well, they're just such a good friend to me. Are they? Biblically, according to what James said, are they a good friend to you? According to what Solomon said, are they a good friend to you? Or is it just by your emotions that you think they're a good friend to you? Lastly, fifthly, this afternoon, and we'll be done. A temptation would be that we'd be drawn away by their close relation to you. Because Jude tells us to remember the words spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, even though it's not directly referenced here in this text, we know by the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ and by personal experience, sometimes those who creep in unawares and hold these heretical doctrines, live these lascivious lifestyles, have these rebellious attitudes, are those of our own households. And that's devastating. Even then, or perhaps especially then, we must remember what the Scriptures say. What the apostles of the Lord Jesus have said. When the lascivious man is your brother, when the rebellious man is your son, when the heretical man is your father, blood is not thicker than water. If by that you mean I'm going to stick with family rather than sticking with Christ. The family unit was given to us by God as a picture and a replica of how God relates to us in salvation. God becomes our Father. Jesus becomes our elder brother. We become the children of God. And therefore, because the first family is the spiritual family and the other is only the shadow and replica, your earthly father cannot take the primacy over the heavenly father. Your earthly brother cannot pull you away from your elder brother Jesus. Your child walking away from you and what you've taught him must not predicate you walking away from your heavenly Father. Not simply the apostles, but Jesus himself told us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 21. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. And jumping down to verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. Jesus didn't write this to downplay the importance of honoring your father and mother or loving your children. He wrote this to tell us they are not your first love. Christ is. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Wives, obey your husbands in the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All of these family relations are under the umbrella of the first relation. The duty we have to love and obey God. And so when these men in the church are our own family relation, that is no justifiable excuse for us following them to damnation. But we must follow Christ. The conclusion here this afternoon is that we have ample warning in the Old and New Testaments from multiplicity, I would probably venture to say nearly every writer in Scripture that there will be those who by one way or another will seek to draw us away from God. Our challenge is remembering all those warnings in the midst of our temptation. When the heat's turned up, remembering that the Scriptures told us this. And therefore we need this regular admonition. But beloved, remember ye the words. Remember ye the words. Remember that temptation will come, but remember that Christ always wins. Remember that every temptation has a way of escape. Remember that the Father receives back repentant wayward sons. Remember that our light momentary afflictions are not worthy to be compared with the glory that awaits us. Remember the words of the apostles. When the temptation is there staring us in the face, we must be able to take a step back and see the whole picture. What has God told us from eternity past, and what has He promised for us in eternity future? It's not about what's right here. It's about the words which were spoken before by the apostles of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its continued relevance and its difficult and prescient application as we seek to be faithful to You regardless of the temptations that face us. I thank You for this church. I thank You for their faithfulness to the faith, their love of the truth. Keep them, Father, as You promised to in Jude. Keep them from the wicked one. Keep them from discouragement, from the philosophies and traditions of men. Keep them from the love of temptation and the flesh over the love of obedience to Your Word. Keep them from being drawn away by deceitful personalities or even their own close relations. But that we would truly see Christ as all and in all. God forever blessed. In His name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you back here Wednesday night if you can be here. If you plan on being here Saturday and have not yet signed up, please go ahead and sign up back there.